Amen. 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 God is good, and His mercies endure forever. Can you please bow your head for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for hearing ears and seeing eyes, and we thank you, Lord, for now allowing us to behold the mysteries of the gospel of the grace of God. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, who is our intercessor and our standby and our teacher. Hallelujah, hallelujah, our advocate, hallelujah, and we just love him and thank you for him as he reveals the word of God, hallelujah. Lord, we're asking that you may remember those that are here and their families. Remember those that are yet on their way. We're praying a special prayer for our pastor and Deacon Wallace as they too are traveling on the roads and making their way back here safely. Father, we are calling it done by faith in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, again for the opportunity of coming before you. We're praying for our World Wide Web audience. Hallelujah. That they too will be encouraged by the revealing of the Holy Spirit of the mysteries of the gospel of the grace of God. We ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, as you know, we are a teaching ministry. And we got a lot of word to go through today just to lay the groundwork for what we will be getting into. For those of you that are in our World Wide Web audience, we'd like you to reference the document, The Eternal Comprehension of Now, Doctrinal Conference number 25, God's Eternal Purpose in Life's Transactions. That date is Thursday, May 14th through Saturday, May 16th, 2015. And when you see me coming, you know where I'm going to start. Got to start in Ephesians. Yeah, there might be those that are out there that don't have a firm grip on salvation. And you know, what you believe about salvation impacts your daily living. It impacts how you are able to negotiate your daily activities. How you're able to walk in the glorious light of the gospel of the grace of God toward peace, toward the light. So you got to have a handle on that. Deacon Gavin is our reader. I'd like him to read Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 5, both in the King James as well as the Greek interlinear, because we must place salvation in time. If you have salvation in its proper place, you won't be worried about whether or not you're saved today and lost tomorrow. The things that occur in the matrix in time are not going to knock you off your feet. It's going to cause you to have stability and confidence to walk boldly, realizing that God's got it. Amen. Ephesians, please.
We're reading from the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, and beginning verse 3 from the King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Amen.
Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, from the interlineal Greek text. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ.
Amen.
As he chose us in him before foundation of world to be or being us holy and unblemished before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to him, according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Do you know your whole life and your whole salvation is all about him? How many times did it talk about the good pleasure of him? According to the will of him. It is all about him. Our lives are testaments and epistles to him. It's about him. Not about us, but it is all about him and his finished work. Talked about blessings, spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Didn't talk about new cars and didn't talk about material things, because we know all those things are temporal, passing away. But it talked about the eternal, spiritual, the invisible, where the real action is. Amen. So you got to have that together, the fact that your life is hidden in Christ and God, and that your salvation was a done deal in eternity. It is an eternal entity. Nothing that is limited by time. Hallelujah. Or your lack of understanding thereof. You are blessed with the spiritual blessings of God regardless of whether or not you know about them. You have been chosen and elected in eternity whether or not you did anything. Doesn't have anything to do with us. It is all about him. And that whole passage was all about him. And can you follow up with Colossians 2, please?
Now, from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, I'm sorry, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. First from the King James Version. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
Amen.
Now from the interlinear Greek text, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are in him, having been filled, who is the head of all rule and authority.
Amen. Our whole lives are completed in Christ and God, and that's how we get back to the eternal comprehension of now.
Right.
Now faith. Everything is in the now. And where we get tripped up is because we are in displaced time zones when there's only one, and that's now. We are constantly looking back at the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
The shoulda, coulda, wouldas. And they get us. Or we're constantly looking to the future, which is not promised. We may not get to what we're looking for, but we miss the benefits and the peace of the eternal now living. Thinking about what's going on right now, realizing God has it. Your life is completed in Christ. It's already done. You can turn the light off. As you turn, Deacon, to Ephesians, and those of you with a Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to kind of look at a few scriptures there, because we are talking about the eternal now. In the kingdom gospel, there is a well-known prayer that we all learned as children, and that's the Lord's Prayer. But that's not our prayer. That's not our prayer. Our prayer is the Ephesians prayer. And you find the Ephesians prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. And I'd like you to turn there. We're going to look real briefly at Ephesians 3:11. And I'd like Deacon to read that in the King James as well as in the Greek interlinear.
Now reading from the book of Ephesians again, chapter 3. Verse 11, first from the King James Version. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And now from the interlinear Greek text. According to purpose of the ages which he made in Christ Jesus the Lord of us.
Do you know that God purposed your life in eternity? Your entire life was completed, a done deal in eternity according to God. Whatever comes, He's brought it. Whatever goes, it goes because it came to pass. That was the reason it came. And it's all about God. Let's get off this stuff about what the devil's doing. He is a created being. He's got marching orders. He's not a free radical. He's not originating anything. So whatever is, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, it's all about Him according to His divine will and purpose for you. It's preset. And we don't get a redo. It's preset. It's preset. So you've got to look at the fact that our lives are completed in Christ and God, that it is preset according to God's eternal plan. That's what it's about. Now, the Ephesians prayer, it starts in like in a verse. I usually start it. It's almost the whole thing. I like to emphasize 14 through 19. And Deacon, if you'd be so kind. And these references are also in the document, The Eternal Comprehension of Now. If you could read 14 through 18, through 19, I'm sorry. We're gonna emphasize 18. So could you do it in the King James as well as the Greek?
Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verses beginning verse 14 from the King James Version first. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen, amen. What was he talking about there? Talking about knowledge of Christ, knowledge of who you are in Christ, knowledge of the will of God and His purposes. Knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. Knowing Christ should put your mind to peace. Knowing Christ. Okay, can you read it in the interlinear, please?
Now, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning verse 14 through 19, interlinear Greek text. Of this, by reason of, I bend the knees of me unto the Father, of whom every fatherhood in heavens and on earth is named, in order that He may give you, according to the riches of the glory of Him, by power to become mighty through the Spirit of Him in the inward man, to dwell, having dwelt, Christ through faith in the hearts of you, in love, having been rooted and having been founded, in order that ye may have strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and the length and height and depth. And verse 19, and to know, having known, the excelling knowledge, love of Christ, in order that ye may be, having been filled, to all the fullness of God.
Amen, amen. Talking about knowing God, knowing His purpose, knowing the inner works of what your life is really about, and our life is Christ. Turning to our document, for our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience that is singleness and sincerity of God, and not in fleshy wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world and may abundantly toward you. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, Greek, and that's the Greek text. An exceedingly inquisitive question is, what is actually now? The physical answer in time is nothing. The scriptural answer in eternity is everything. Physicality, secularities, concepts of now and time is illusionary in visual constructions designed for expediency to measure universally perceived past, present, and future. This illusion of time is avowed in advances of scientific measurements and relativity of the physical dimensional universe in order to observe processions of motion. That is how things appear in the matrix. That's what time is all about. It shows the emotions, the motions of when things come and when things leave. But they actually are all in one dimension, which is in the eternal now. Beyond perceptions of most things in the physical world, time simply does not exist. That's the whole purpose of it, is to the measurement of time in the time capsule. That's the purpose. There is only one eternal now where things have happened, are happening, and will happen relative to the concept of time, which such always have existed, exist and exist, and will exist. Thus, actualized concepts of past, present, and future simply do not and cannot display. Actualized existence is in perpetuality of abiding in originality of its intentions, that is the intensiveness of its derivative dominant being in existence. We reference Hebrews 11:1-3 and Colossians 1:16, and we're going to get into that a little bit more in the document. But everything is about now. In Hebrews 11, and Deacon, can you turn to that right now? We're going to look at that. Hebrews 11. We'll look at that right now because it's also later on in the document. But I always had problems with Hebrews 11. Mm-hmm. I always had problems with it because it didn't make sense to me. Now, I know everything falls into place for most of y'all, but I've had a lot of problems sometimes, you know, trying to put things together. And Hebrews 11, I always pondered, and the reason it was difficult for me was because I knew about length and height and depth, but I didn't know about the breath of God, which is the dimension of purpose, which drives those other things. The breath equals the purpose, which drives the other dimensions of length, height, and depth. The purpose, which is invisible, eternal, and actualized, drives the visible, temporal, manifested workings of God in the eternal now. I couldn't get that. I couldn't get that breath part. That's an entire dimension within itself that overrides all the other physical things that we see. So when you start talking about the breath, think about your own breath, because I pondered that too. God gives us life one breath at a time, one purpose at a time. And we look at the commercials on TV about about people smoking and people having lung diseases. And I've been fortunate enough; God held that back. I never had that kind of problem. I had the other ones, but not that one. But people who have lung disease have problems with breath. And people who have asthma attacks, for instance, they say they feel like they're dying, that they can't get that next breath. If God did not give you that next breath, you'd stop existing. We are here in the now, one breath or one purpose of God at a time. Just one at a time. Okay, can you read that, please?
Now, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning verse 1,
mm-hmm.
through verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
King James Version first. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Amen.
Now, from the interlinear Greek text, Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. Now is faith of things being hoped, reality of things not being seen. By this, for obtain witness the elders. By faith we understand to have been adjusted the ages by a saying of God, so as not out of things appearing, the thing being seen to have become.
Let's look at that in verse 3 where it talked about adjusted. In the Greek, that word is, and I don't prove to be a scholar now, but it's katatus, which means creation. It was out of the creation. The adjustments have been made. And the adjustments are adjusted in time. They're spoken one time. That word there is rhema, spoken word. God spoke it in the beginning. Go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. And it has been adjusted through the matrix. But it all appeared at one time, and it's revealed through us, for us, for manifestation, in the matrix of time. But when is it? Everything is now. Now, faith. All of it is initiated by God. When? In his eternal workings. According to his eternal purpose, that breath part, the purpose of God. Do we understand the purpose? No. That's why in Ephesians 3, it talks about getting involved in the knowledge of him. May he reveal to us the knowledge of his workings, the knowledge of who we are, the knowledge of what his plan is, his eternal plan is for us. This is going to cause us to stop sightseeing. This is going to cause us to trust God. This is going to cause us to turn the light off. This is how we vertical view. This is how we realize that God is in control and he is sovereign. Whatever is appearing, it's because that's your walk. That was determined by God in his eternal plan in the beginning. Hallelujah. This is God's plan for you. When? Now. 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 Now, while we're walking this journey, things change. Things come and things pass. And if you can realize that it's coming to pass, it'll keep you from being overcome. It'll keep you from being sad. It'll keep you from being up and down like you're on a roller coaster. It'll keep you and give you the stability you need to have confidence in the workings of God, the eternal workings of God, and that he's on your side, that he loves you. How many times we talked about in love he did this? According to his love. He loves us. Now you can say, well, if he loves us, why did my loved one have the car accident? If he loved me, why did this occur? Why did I get a divorce? Why did my child die? You see, we have all these occurrences that happen in the matrix, but we have to realize nothing belongs to us. It's not my child. It's his child. It's not my job. It's his job. It's not my house. It's his house. Are you all getting the picture of this? If you can realize that whatever comes, it comes to go, and that time is going to run out on that as well. Because all that is now. All that is his divine plan and his working. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about, guys. And if we can get that, we can have peace. We can have peace. We can trust and obey and be what God wants us to be. We're all in the workings of God. Wherever you are is where God intended you to be right now. Whatever's going on in your life is what God planned for you right now. Everybody say right now. Right now. There's nothing but now. Nothing but now. Don't get displaced and twisted up in the future of what's to come. You don't know. We haven't gotten there. May not get there. He might not give us that next breath to get there. Can't look at the past. What can you do about that? Absolutely nothing. What you need to do is thank and praise God for the eternal now. That's the real, the eternal now. Amen. The entire universe and things beyond transcend in source, which is God, initiated God, solidarity caused God. All of it is about who? Not you. It doesn't say you anywhere in none of this. It's all about God. All of it. That goes back to Ephesians 14, 3 and 14. It's all about God. God is liveliness exhibiting frequency relative in source core of the universe's energy and physical beings as the outermost shell. Goes back to what's in the matrix, that dimension, that temporary. The dimension universe, as observed by means of its physical scientism, senses subsist in its lowest rate of exposure as its highest rate of testimonial displays. So what we actually see, this temporary, is just a reflection of the real and the eternal. Hence, or the actualized. Hence, the physical universe solidity is erroneously envisioned and declared of what represents its ultimate cancellation. Physical energy's causation of functional thought configurations are under the influence of temporary manifestations as observable effects confined in the time unit in which reflections originated in exhibition. So, as things appear on the matrix, they appeared in intervals of fractured light. That's why we can view the same event and have different interpretations. Because think about a kaleidoscope. And as you turn that kaleidoscope and you look up to a light source, you're seeing an array of colors that are constantly moving and constantly changing. Every interval of time, down to the minute hundreds and thousands of a second, are in, think of as a kaleidoscope, as moving. What appears to me may not appear to you, but it is all about God's eternal now and his actualized plan that is manifested in eternity. It's manifested in the time capsule in which we live. But it's all different. It's all different. It's all specific, tailor-made by God for you. For you. So how it appears, again, in that temporary manifestation as observable effects confined to the time unit of which reflections originated in exhibition. That's how it appears. That's why we read where things that appear come from things that did not appear. The real is in the eternal invisible. And that what we see comes from what was unseen. It all ties back into that. Physicality, secularity is purpose. Not in, but of originality from absolute causality or from God. Therefore, everything, everybody say everything, including the entire physical secular world, formally originated as a reflective intention, which in turn has its corresponding effect from the causal sphere, that's God, to becoming the corresponding and potentially observable outcome. Go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. It is all about him, guys. It is not about us. It's all about God. The ultimate action of creative functioning is by its glorious cause and source. All in all, we're talking about God. And we go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. Can we turn to that, please, and read that? That's our last reading. Colossians 1, 16. And that ties directly in with Hebrews 11, which we already read. When we were reading Ephesians, and it talked about the adjustment, the creation, the same words are used in Colossians 1, 16 and 17. And Deacon, can you read them both from the King James and the Greek, please?
Now we are reading from the Book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, first from the King James Version. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Amen. Now, when it talked about, when it talked about the thrones and the dominions and principalities, those are the powers. Did you know that the powers that be are ordained of God? Do you know that all of the world leaders are placed there by God? And you say, oh, no, no, what about Hitler? What about this tyrant, Popot, all these evil, evil people, Nero in the Bible days, they were ordained of God. Yeah, yeah, it was all purposed and ordained of God. That's why the Bible says he turns the heart of the king. Think about when Israel was in Egypt. It said that the Pharaoh had been wanting to let them go. Ben wanted to leave. He was sick of them. He was much ready for them to leave. After the first and second plague, killed all their firstborn, and they were overrun by frogs, and you just go on and on and on. But the Bible said that God did what? Hardened his heart. Who hardened it? God. God turns the heart of the king. So, we have elections in America coming up. Whoever's in is God's man. President Obama, God's man. The two Bushes, and I stayed out the Bushes three times. I didn't vote for the dad or the... I stayed out Bushes three times. I didn't vote for none of them Bushes. But when they got in, I prayed for them both. Why? Because that was God's will for us. God is the one that brings one up and puts one down. Make no bones about it. God is sovereign. That means he's in complete control. Give the Lord a hand. He is sovereign. Complete control. Whatever's coming to your life, God's bringing it. Whatever leaves, he took it away. Hallelujah. God is in control of our very life. Yeah. Amen. And so when it talked about in Deacon, can you read it in the Greek, please? Colossians.
Now Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 from the interlineal Greek text. 16, because in him were created all things in the heavens and on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities, all things through him and for him have been created. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and all things in him consist.
Everybody say all things. All things. Everything that is has manifested according to the divine will and purpose of God. So that's why James said, count it not strange when you have diverse temptations and trials come. Matter of fact, one translation I have says, count them. It says, welcome them as friends. I'd say, oh my God, how can you welcome bad things as friends? But if you realize that it's all about God and his divine will and purpose, you can sit back and realize if it's bad, God's glorious plan at the end is going to be good. That's how he works all things out for our good. That's how. If there were no suffering, we wouldn't know the fellowship, the communion of Christ. Christ suffered, but we don't make ourselves better than him. We're supposed to have everything as a bed of roses. You're not supposed to go through nothing. Not in this life. You're going to go through something. But be of good cheer. You've overcome. Even when it looks like you're not winning, you have already won. Give the Lord a hand. You've already won. You've already overcome. Hallelujah. You're already reigning. Yeah, over those circumstances in life, because we know they're all purposed for God's divine will and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything originated in its beginning as a thought, as all existed as expressions within the mind of God, actualized in his saying. And we already read that. That's that rhema. Since the beginning of the concept of time, humankind has sought to live life based around that model, thereby always thinking in terms of past, present, and future other than now. The universe's mass and energy are solely reflected in physical, secular spheres, surfaces, and dimensions influenced as creations of its own individual realities. Eternity emanates no conception of time, only now. Hence, there is no past, passing presence, or future. Irrespective of how humankind portrays actual existence in these erroneous notions. So regardless of what you think about what's coming, what's past, there is nothing but the eternal now. Tendencies to compel everything happening in compliance within reality's expressions of time exert unsettled effects on those not fully comprehensive of the actuality of now. Those of us who don't understand the concept of the eternal now are constantly going to be sightseeing. See, if you are to walk by faith and not by sight, you've got to be consonant. You've got to be aware of the eternal now, where everything really resides. You've got to have eternal viewing, vertical viewing. You've got to be thinking in terms of not what is this, but what's it for? What's God's purpose? That breath. What's the purpose that is driving the other dimensions? What's the purpose that is causing whatever it is to manifest? Keep in mind, it's not about you. It's all about God. We are not in control. He's in control. And that's hard for us. You know, because most of us want to be in the driver's seat. Yeah, we do. We want to be calling the shots, right? We want to be, we want to pray, well, Lord, do it this way, do it this time, and, you know, we're going to help them out, yeah, because we got a better plan. You know, God needs to consider our thoughts when it's all futile in lieu of the fact that everything is a completed work in Christ in eternity. That's why you can boldly pray, thy will be done. Because guess what, saints? It's going to be done anyway. God's will is going to be done anyway. Yeah. So let's link up. And let's go. Let's drive with God. Not driving. We're not driving. But we're along for the ride because he's already mapped out our journey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And guess what? We win. Regardless of what happens, we win. Things are most indefinable when someone thinks in the future, I will, I want, or could, as the intent or motion is influenced by what can manifest into reality, but is factual only in time's presence of now, because its preconceived future may never actually arrive. That's why we're to say, if it's the Lord's will. Old folks used to say it all the time. If it's the Lord's will, I'll do this. If it's the Lord's will, I'll go there. That's why we have only imaginary itineraries and agendas. Because what we're thinking, we don't know the mind of God. Right. Now, is that to say you're not to make a plan? No. Make a plan, but realize that plan can be adjusted. Not according to your will, but according to his. Yeah, according to his will. You know, what one thinks, says, or believes implies I want, which places one into a perpetual state of wanting but never actually realizing. Present dwelling exists in its maximized extent of unsettled anticipations. This results in a state of anxiety as to what might be realized, while never having confidence that God is immutable, that's sovereign, and absolute, completely, in every possible respect, in control of everything because it already exists. Actualization corresponds in absolute terms rather than the time's concept of now, which literally creates a state of anticipation, yet not realization. In this state, now in time is processed and sequencing until, if at such times, whatever is associated is shifted to possessions, which will then allow the objective to manifest from want to actuality. See, it may not ever come. What you are anticipating or you're anxious about may never come. Even at this point, time's now is only settled in the observable reality of those endeavors. God is not going to show you the complete picture. That's what walking by faith is about. That's what trusting in the Lord is about. You don't get the whole thing. Yeah. You trust Him day by day, just like we trust Him from one breath to another. Amen. The importance of comprehending the eternal now simply can't be overemphasized. It is of fundamental scriptural influences of confidence and actualization according to God's purpose reality rather than perpetually being frozen in a state of pondering as many of God's people do today. Yeah, some folks scratching all the time. They're taking different medications. I'm not against medication now. You know, if you got to have that sense of only thinking and acting in terms of the presence of confidence embedded in context of verified control over life and reality that enables realization of the potential within eternal initiation of purposed reality. Everybody say purposed reality. Our lives are purposed reality. What comes is what God has purposed. And that way you can praise God for all things. That's why it says, in all things give thanks. Because this is the will of God concerning you. And you can only do that with vertical viewing. You can only do that if you understand the eternal now. Because I asked God, I said, why we got to know all of this? Do you know that you're not going to be a soldier standing firm and tall walking in the peace and confidence of God and who you are in Christ unless you understand these things? Yeah, yeah. I mean, as children, we got the Bible stories, and that was great. But we're no longer children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. We realize that God is in control, and we stand firm with Him, realizing that if it comes, it comes to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The importance of the eternal now must be fully grasped and understood as a continuous aspect of benefiting in total fulfillment, joy, and revelation of eternality. Unless you understand the eternal now, you won't have any joy and no peace. Nothing has a more profound effect than the scriptural precepts in the eternal view of daily occurrences in our lives. When things happen, we are to ask what? What is this for? Not what is it? What is it for? The what is it for puts us back into the eternal view. Gets us out of the sightseeing. Hallelujah. It puts us in confidence of realizing that God is in control. It is not sufficient to only recognize and express this comprehension, but peacefulness in situation commands that we do it. We must do eternal viewing. We must stop sightseeing. We must walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saints, viewing life from the vertical plane of our sonship position in Christ and what God has done for us through His eternal plan of salvation should bring peace to our daily lives. Walk by faith, saints, and not by sight.